going up the road, the police, you know, helping them sort of go along the road, possibly protecting them. No, I'm joking. You know, but it was wonderful seeing the church out on the street. And today, which is called Palm Sunday, we remember and we celebrate when Jesus did actually go into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, there was this other man who actually also bought a donkey. And he bought this donkey. Listen up, kids. Listen up. Are you listening, children? I want to say something, okay? Tell me. I want you to tell me at the end. At the end of this little talk, I want you to tell me whether you actually understood any of it. Because I have worked so hard to sort of make sure that you can understand it. And I actually don't think it was that hard. I think it was much better thinking I'm going to be trying to speak to younger children. Because trying to speak to these older ones, oh my goodness, you have to like dig really deeply, you know, into the scriptures and see if you can find some new word. And what does the Greek say? I'm still going to throw a bit of that in because I've got to because I'm Greek. So I want you to tell me at the end, okay, whether actually you understood any of it, even if it's a little bit. But I want to tell you about this man, okay? So listen up, people. This is like a first time for me to be doing like speaking at one level, another level, another level. So don't think I'm speaking down at you. Okay, I'm just trying to sort of like communicate to the whole range here. But there was this man who bought a donkey. And he bought it from a preacher. Preacher just like Jane. Actually, probably this guy was very spiritual like Jane. And this donkey was well trained. And this preacher trained this donkey to gallop and to stop at special words. So when he said hallelujah, the donkey... Oh, can I have my PowerPoint up? Sorry. That's good. If you can leave it there, that would be good. That's Jesus. Nice little picture. Keep you going there. That's about the right colour for Jesus. In my case, he looks very ethnic, don't you think? Greek, on the Greek side. Sometimes he's very blonde, and I just think, can't be. I know he's not Greek, but, you know, a bit more on the Greek side, I said, you know. We know he's Jewish. I won't go that far in my theology, but I might do later on, no. Anyway, back to the man who bought the donkey. He bought it from this preacher, who was a very, you know, good preacher, and he wanted his donkey to actually learn about good Christian words. So when he said, hallelujah, the donkey would, you know, gallop. And when he said, amen, the donkey would stop. And this bloke thought, who was going to buy it, he thought, that sounds great. I mean, I think Becca would like a donkey like that, or even a horse. Because she'd tell you about a story recently where she got chucked off her horse that wasn't very well trained. But this one was very well trained. So anyway, the guy said, I'll buy that horse. He got onto this donkey. Got onto it, gave it a bash. And he said, hallelujah. And the donkey started going. I thought, this is fantastic. He said, hallelujah. And it kept going. And then he could just see a beautiful countryside. He was really enjoying it. He could see the sea in the distance. Hallelujah, he's going. And the donkey's going mad down the road. And suddenly he realised he was coming towards a cliff edge. And he thought, no, stop. And the donkey wouldn't stop. Then he said, halt! It wouldn't stop. He's going, what was it? I knew it was a religious word. He's going, church! Wouldn't stop. You think he'd stop when you hear the word church, but he didn't. Then he said, what did he say? What else did he say? Bible! It's got to be the word of God. Didn't stop. And he said, Lord, Lord, you know, when you're desperate and the only thing you can do is pray. He said, Lord, please help this donkey stop in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It stopped. And then he said, hallelujah. I thought it'd be too violent to stick a man up there. That's right. So as Ashley read very nicely, thank you, Ashley. I know it's a bit crazy just walking in and sort of taking up and reading the text there, but you did well. Thank you for that. Good to work under pressure. Hallelujah. He was good at that. So today, hallelujah, today, we can do that all day, but we're not in a Pentecostal church this morning. I'll take you to one day. Right, so today we are going to be looking at about how Jesus found himself a donkey. And he also, this donkey wasn't trained because it was too young. It was a colt. Is the right word? A baby donkey? It was a baby donkey. So it wouldn't have been trained. But actually it behaved when Jesus sat on it. And the reason it behaved when Jesus sat on it, because Jesus was God. And the donkey knew that. And he was like his creator. So the donkey didn't go mad trotting down the road. But why did Jesus, on that day, come on a donkey? Why did he come on a donkey? He's the King of Kings. He's God. Most people ride on a horse, don't they? I mean, in all honesty, I mean, if you saw someone coming down the road on a donkey, like a soldier, it wouldn't look right, would it? If you saw Prince William coming down the road on a donkey, it ain't going to look right, is it? He looks better on a horse. But Jesus came on a donkey. Unlike Judah of Maccabee, this is a little bit for the older ones, he was a military man who rode in Jerusalem. He rode on a horse. Solomon, who wrote a lot of the Proverbs, King David's son, he rode a horse. But why did Jesus come on a donkey? Well, one of the reasons he came on a donkey, he didn't need to be flash. He didn't need to sit on a big horse to sort of proclaim who he is. He knew who he was. But also because the Bible, 500 and odd years before Jesus came, talked about him coming on a donkey. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Gentle. Jesus is gentle and riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. This king of glory comes in peace, not as a militant. Now, a few years ago, Steve and I were in Jerusalem, and we were so fortunate. You're looking at these pictures, kids. It was amazing. Now, this is Jerusalem, and we were there. These are not taken off Google pictures or whatever, which I do take a lot of my pictures from there. And on this day of Palm Sunday, you'd thought you'd see like all the, you know, all the Christians and the whatever, the Catholics and whatever, all the people going out there celebrating and progressing in a very religious sort of way. But it was everybody you could think of that had something to do with the community were in this procession and showing and telling the community who they were. It was a joy. It was a bit like actually the Lord Mayor's show. I actually think I thought I saw soldiers. I don't know if they are. I mean, I don't know if Steve remembers, but if there was military there. But it did make me laugh because I think there was. And I thought it was a bit odd on this Palm Sunday day, having all sorts marching round the walls. That's the walls of Jerusalem. They're going to go into Jerusalem. And this is what it was like on that Palm Sunday day when Jesus went, the Passover day that Jesus went on that donkey. They were already doing a celebration for Passover, and Jesus arrives on a donkey. So they're already there celebrating, but some of them, you know, recognized him. It says in verse 12, the next day, a large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. The crowd had come to Jerusalem, especially to celebrate Passover Sunday. I think it was a Sunday, could have been Saturday actually. But they were there and they recognised Jesus. Now, in the Greek, in the New Testament, as you know, the New Testament is written in Greek, because that was the known, well-known language there at the time. The word Passover is Pascha. And in my everyday language, even today, if I was to say, I passed Amanda up the road, I wouldn't now say Amanda in Greek, but I would say, Eberos adin Amanda up the road. There's stuck a little bit of Greek there for the Amanda. But it's just the same word, Eberasa, Passover. And they get this word, obviously, because they were celebrating the Passover that happened a few hundred years beforehand. In my mum's country, where she comes from in Cyprus, which is a Greek country, that when we celebrate Easter, we don't actually use the word Easter like you do here. We say Pascha. So we say it's Passover. But when they greet each other and they say that, you know, they're going to... you know, like Happy Easter. We don't say that. We say Christ is risen. Christos Anestes. So if you were there if you went to Greece or Cyprus and you watched the news, you may not understand, but as the newsman comes on, he actually says, you know, he might say, Galimera, good morning, and he'd say, Christ is risen. Christos Anestes. And when I first heard that, I thought, my goodness, imagine that hearing that in England, the newsman coming on saying, Christ is risen. Well, he would have risen for him, because the next day he wouldn't have a job. So I don't know what slide I'm on there. That's right. Now, the Greek word the word Easter comes from here, and I'm not going to bother reading that. I've just stuck there because it's an interesting fact. I'm sure many of you know it, that it's not particularly a biblical word. But why were the crowds shouting Hosanna? Anyone know why the crowds were shouting Hosanna? Why were they shouting Hosanna? Anybody know? Hosanna literally means... give salvation now. Give salvation now. That's why they were shouting Hosanna. Give salvation now. That's what it means. And somehow, some of them actually knew. God had made that clear to them. The same way the Lord makes himself clear to us. Some of them knew that actually he was the Messiah foretold. But some of them, had been looking for a salvation from their occupiers. They were occupied by the Romans. And wasn't very nice to be living in your country with the military there keeping an eye on you and still really not completely free. Some of them might have wanted salvation from health, not feeling very well. Some of them from debt. They still had financial difficulties then. We may think it was a lot more easy. It probably was. It wasn't probably as complicated. I don't know. I don't think I'd like to live then. I think it's much nicer now. But they would have been actually having financial problems then. Health. Maybe a horrible situation at school for some of the children. They had school then. They had to go and learn about what their history was. And sometimes you have horrible times at school, didn't you? Do you have horrible times at school? Sometimes friends not nice to you. Sometimes a teacher could be a bit miserable. Has a go at you, makes you feel horrible, doesn't it? Take no notice, I tell you. Never take no notice of those horrible words they say to you. Say nope. Because it could really have an impact on your life. You know, if a teacher says, like, you're rubbish, you'll never amount to anything. Has anyone been to school where they've said that to you? I know me and Terry are going to put our hands up, because me and Terry have had some good chats where we've had teachers say to us, you'll never amount to anything. You know, even walk past you when they're giving out the grades. And I remember I said to my teacher, how about me? He goes, I'm not bothering with you. I'm thinking, oh, okay. Okay, so does anyone know why we call today Palm Sunday? Do you know why we call it Palm Sunday? Have a guess. Very good, exactly. So we read in verse 13, they took branches of a palm tree and went out to meet him, shouting, praise God, God bless him, who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the King of Israel. Excuse me. This story is about Jesus coming in victory. The three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, actually none of them record it was palm leaves. It was only John. John's always a little bit different. And he records that because John knew that palm leaves were related to important celebrations. In the Jewish law, they actually said you can use palm leaves. Now you might be asking why they have it in the law, but that's the way it was. Laws for everything. But you were allowed to use palm leaves at special celebrations, at royal celebrations. So that's why they were waving palm leaves. One, it was a celebration, and two, also, that Jesus was coming. We read, actually, in another place in the New Testament, later on, John has a picture of heaven. And again, they are waving palm leaves there in heaven, palm branches. And they're saying, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Now, a few hundred years, or maybe even, not, it's not that long actually, because it was in that time period, but just 50 years before that, they were saying, save us. But now they're in heaven, it's happened. And they can actually just confirm that salvation comes from our God. Jesus is recognised as the Messiah, the once and for all sacrifice, the Lamb, the Passover Lamb on this day. And that's why they were waving palm branches. So what lessons can we learn today? What lessons do you think we can learn today? Well, I've just picked two that I think we can learn. One from Jesus and one from actually being in the crowd. Now, what we can learn from Jesus is that he was faithful. As we sung earlier on, God is faithful. He was faithful to what God had called him to. Jesus was faithful. He stayed focused. He could have gotten that donkey. He knew what was coming and he could have said, no thanks, I'm going to go the other way. But he didn't. He stayed focused in pain and went into Jerusalem knowing that this was leading to a painful death. So we know as Christians ourselves that sometimes what God wants us to do may not feel so good. In actual fact, if it don't feel so good and God is wanting you to do it, you know that God is with you and soon you'll feel the fruits of that and the good in that. So don't be put off when God leads us in places and situations where it ain't going to feel so good to us. So what can we learn about the power of the crowd? You've got these crowd of people there. What can we learn? Well, crowds are fun. Was it fun yesterday being in a crowd downstairs in the hall? It's fun, isn't it? Lovely, isn't it? Lovely. I was in a crowd on Friday as well. We went to see a band, lots of bands, and it was fun. You know, and one person stands up and you feel, and then you all get up. One person might start saying something, you all say it. This was for the Motown band, you know, the Drifters, the Four Tops. They're going to be in heaven, I'm telling you, most of them are in heaven. They told us that when we were there. You just think, who are the originals here? Even the women look white, and I wish I had binoculars, but Steve said, no, they were African or African, or Jamaican or whatever they are. But, you know, they look white with the floodlights on them. But anyway, crowds can be places of funds, but they also can be places where they can put pressure on you to do things that you don't want to do. So for us as Christians, we need to think about what we say and what we do. We need to see what is influencing us. What are the influences on our lives? You know, what are the pressures out there that are making us go a particular way? So this Sunday, this Palm Sunday, where we remember Jesus coming, staying focused. He knew that crowd, as Steve referred to, who were shouting out, Hosanna, Hosanna, salvation has come. He knew that some people in that crowd, he would have caught their eye, and he knew a few days later they would have been shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. Be faithful to God. Let us let go of any strongholds to do with our old self, our old image. Let us take on the new self again in Christ every day. For us to come into the new things the Lord has for us, for our family, for our church, we need to forget sometimes and let go of the things of the past. And some of us really love being in the crowd. And a crowd can represent a safe place. Our way, the old way, no space for extending into the new. We just want things as they are. Even when it's wrong, in a strange way, we find a wrong kind of security in things that actually give us safety sometimes. Today, on this Palm Sunday, the Lord calls us out of the crowd. Out of the crowd. Out of our comfort zone. Out of our known places. And to join him on a journey to life. And I was praying, and I just thought, I'd love to have a verse for today. This is one of my favourite verses, and it's a promise and a truth for each one of us, as Isaiah recorded what the Lord has said. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It's springtime. There is something springing up in your life that is new. Keep an eye on it. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Praise God. Let us just close our eyes and pray for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.